Our scripture reading for this morning is James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. So let's go ahead and recite that together. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And before we go into our message, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for your glorious word. Every word of the Lord proves true. Your words are pure and perfect. And so, Lord God, as you have given us this gracious, immeasurable gift, we pray now, Lord, that you would grant us the power by your Holy Spirit to understand and accept the things of the Spirit of God, which is your revelation. And Lord, we pray that as we receive your word, Lord, we will not only hear, but as your word teaches us today, that we will put into practice that which we hear, so that, Lord, we may be sanctified in the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so to that end, Lord God, we pray for this worship service and this preaching of your word. Please, we pray, according to your grace, make this preaching and teaching of your word effective for our growth in purity and in holiness as those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and are recipients of the Holy Spirit and eternal life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing with our series in James, picking up where we left off last week in the first chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 22 to verse 25. If you recall from our previous message in James from last week, we were taught that God's word is implanted on the hearts of every genuine believer in Jesus Christ. And so we read in verse 21 of this chapter, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. At salvation, we were reminded last week, what has God done? God put his laws on our hearts. Or in other words, he put within us a sincere, heartfelt desire to obey his word. Regarding this transformation of the heart, the writer of Hebrews cites the prophet Jeremiah in Hebrews 10, 15 to 17. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. God promises to put his laws on the hearts of every person who receives his Son, Jesus Christ, for eternal life. It is from this radical change of heart that believers are empowered to obey God's righteous will. So our passage from last week commanded believers, for all who are in Christ, for all who have received this radical change of heart, to desist from evil and to fully embrace the word of God, which they so desire to obey. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. As we now move on from where we left off last Sunday in James, we can see that the Apostle James is careful to remind us what receiving the Word of God involves, what embracing the Word of God involves. Verse 22 of our text. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Receiving the implanted Word not only means hearing the Word, but also doing the Word. Sometimes, as believers, we're content to just listen to the Word, aren't we? We approve of what the Word of God teaches. We affirm its divine origin and perfection. We're even convicted by the Word of God as it's impressed upon our conscience. We hear the Word of God as it's read and as it's preached. And as we do, we assent to its truth. But then, Bible study is over. Sunday service concludes. And we're content to have merely listened to the Word. We fail to take the next step, which is to do the Word which we so readily listen to and affirmed. Verse 22, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Brethren in Christ, let us not deceive ourselves. To merely hear the Word is not the righteousness of God that pleases Him. What pleases our Lord is hearing His Word and then doing what it says. And our text goes on to provide us with an analogy of what it's like to merely hear the Word while neglecting to do what it commands. So here's the analogy. Verse 22 to 24. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. So when Christians hear the Word but do not do the Word, they're compared to a man who looks intently at his face in a mirror. He looks at his face, then goes on his way, and forgets what he saw. Imagine someone looking at his face in a mirror. He has an inkling that his face might be a bit smudged. So he looks carefully at his reflection. And as he examines his face, he not only sees dirt stains on his forehead, but also sees dried ketchup around his mouth. He looks more intently at his reflection, and then he spots a bit of gunk in the corners of his eyes and some residual mucus under his nose. As he looks intently at his face in the mirror, he can see what his face is like, and it's obvious to him that his face is dirty and needs to be washed. But as he looks away from the mirror and begins to go his way, he immediately forgets what he saw in the mirror. He forgets that his face needs a good cleaning. And so he goes on as usual, back to his routine, doing nothing about his smudged face. That is what it's like when a believer is a hearer of the word and not doer. You see, because the word of God is like a mirror. It shows us our spiritual blemishes. It exposes to us our sins. As we hear the word, we're confronted by the fact that we are doing certain things that are out of accord with God's will. We're confronted with the fact that we've been showing a bad temper, that we've been impatient with others, that we've had envy and malice harbored in our hearts, that we are guilty of impure thoughts and affections, that we've been grumbling and complaining throughout the week and have had a discontented attitude. And so for the moment, as we're hearing God's word, we're convicted of our wrongs, and we realize we need to change. But sometimes, when we walk away from the mirror of God's word, we forget what it showed us about ourselves. The spiritual blemishes we saw in the mirror of God's word quickly fades from our attention as we go back to focusing on other things. So instead of cleansing those spiritual blemishes through repentance and renewed obedience, we carry on as usual, doing nothing about the faults exposed to us by God's word. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. How often are we guilty of doing that, brethren, in Christ? We hear the word of God preached to us. We're confronted by some area of disobedience on our part. We feel convicted by the truth. We feel inclined to repent and change our ways. But once we turn our focus on to other things, that conviction quickly fades from our attention. And we wind up doing nothing about that fault. If a person with a grimy face forgets what he sees of himself in the mirror, how does the mirror benefit him? If he forgets what he saw in that mirror, he won't do anything about the grime on his face. In a similar sense, if believers forget what they see of themselves in the mirror of God's word, well, how does the word benefit their sanctification? If they forget what they saw, they won't do something about their spiritual grime. They won't do something about the areas of their lives that require the sanctification of God's word and Holy Spirit. And if they won't do something about their ongoing sins, then surely God must intervene to spur them into Holy Spirit-empowered action. Surely the Heavenly Father disciplines His children who neglect to take action to rectify the spiritual faults exposed by His word. Brethren, in Christ, for the sake of pleasing the one who loves us and sent his son to save us, for the sake of fulfilling the deepest desire of our hearts, for the sake of sparing ourselves God's fatherly displeasure and discipline, let us be certain not only to be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. Let us be sure to be doers of the word whenever it shows us areas in our lives that need the cleansing of sanctification. Let us do as we are taught in our text in verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Brethren, when we look into the perfect law of God's word, let us remember what we are taught in today's text, that his law is the law of liberty. God has given us his commandments so that by keeping them we might be liberated. That's why it's called the law of liberty. When believers keep his law, they are liberated. Liberated from what? Well, as we pointed out in our message from last week, if you remember, if we have turned to Christ in saving faith, we have already been liberated. We have already been liberated from what? From sin's penalty, from sin's punishment. Christ Jesus paid the penalty for the sins of his people on the cross. The moment we placed our faith in Christ, what he did for sinners on the cross was applied to us, and we were forgiven our sins and justified in God's sight. So all who genuinely trust in Christ have been fully liberated from sin's punishment once and for all. But all who trust in Christ are also, in a different sense, they're also in the process of being liberated. We have been liberated in one sense. We have been liberated from sin's punishment. Yes, that's true of all who trust in Christ. But we are also being liberated. We are in the process of being liberated. From what? Well, as we clarified in our previous message from last week, we are in the process of being liberated from sin's pollution. We have already been liberated from sin's punishment, but now, as the Holy Spirit enters into our life and gives us power for obedience, and as we turn to God's word, and as we obey what is going on, we are in the process of being liberated from sin's pollution. In other words, we have already been justified. Now we are in the process of being sanctified. I do want to take a moment to clarify. It's very important to remember this, that before we can be liberated from sin's pollution, we must be liberated from sin's punishment. Don't get that mixed up. Before we can live out lives of holiness, we must first receive forgiveness for our sins, be reconciled to a holy God, and obtain the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. For as long as we are alienated from God, for as long as we are under his wrath for sin, we have no power for sanctification. We do not have the power to live out a holy life. And so what does the gospel say to those who have yet to turn to Christ Jesus in faith? Well, the gospel is very clear. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in his name. Believe in Him as He's been revealed in God's Word, not according to man's sentimental imagination. Believe in Him. Receive Him as Lord. And the promise of the gospel is that your sins will be forgiven you. And you will receive the right to become children of God. And you will be sealed with the Holy Spirit, who gives us power to walk in God's ways. As you read in Ephesians 1, and you also, when you believe the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with what? And were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. Excuse me, I make a correction there. When you heard the word of truth and believed in Him, I want to quote the scripture correctly. So God's commandments to His redeemed children in Christ is in our text called the law of liberty. Because as we learn to keep His word by the power of His Spirit living in us, we are experiencing sanctification. We are being liberated from sin's pollution. We are being purified and becoming more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. If the Spirit of God dwells in us, the commandments of our Lord is the law of liberty. Brethren in Christ, when we look into the law of liberty, and as we are confronted with our spiritual blemishes and faults, let us do what we are taught in verse 25 and persevere in what the Word of God has shown us about ourselves. How often we fail to persevere in the conviction of God's Word. We're convicted for a moment, only to forget that conviction once we walk out of church and go back to our routine. In order to be a doer of the word, our text teaches us that there is something critically important that we must always do. And what is that? We must remember. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. If we're going to act, we must not forget. In other words, we must remember. We must remember the conviction, the reproof, the correction of God's word. So much of our slowness and failure to change can be traced back to our unwillingness to remember and retain the reproof of God's word. So we must remember what the mirror of God's word has shown us about ourselves and act on that knowledge. When the preaching is done or the Bible study is concluded or our Bibles are closed in our own personal devotions, we must remember what the word has convicted us of and take that conviction to prayer. And there confess whatever sin was exposed to us through His word. And repent. And in the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, we must act on the reproof of God's word. And consciously decide in that moment to obey. And when we do this, what are we told in our text? Verse 25. Being no hearer who forgets, but a doer acts, He will be blessed in his doing. The Lord informs us that when we hear and then do the word, we will be blessed in our doing. The hand of the Lord is heavy on his children who put off his reproof and correction. As we're reminded in the Psalm of David, Psalm 32, 3-5. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Many of us know what that's like. You put off God's reproof. He's shown it to you so clearly in his word, even repeatedly, week after week. Put it off. We forget, convicted, but we don't remember the conviction. And then the hand of the Lord is heavy on us as a result. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Conviction, prayer, confession, repentance, and then act. Obey. Look into the perfect law, the law of liberty. And as we are reproved by it, let us be sure to act by the power of him who dwells within us, the Spirit of our Lord. And we will be blessed in our doing. We will shine the image of Christ more brightly. We will bring glory to our Lord. We will be a blessing to our household, to our spouse, to our children, to our parents, to our fellow brethren in Christ, and to those who are around us. And we will find delight as we fulfill our desire to obey the word of our God, who has saved us through his Son and put his law on our hearts. Let's pray. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with your word and is the product of your Holy Spirit's anointing, we pray that we who genuinely trust in your Son for salvation and who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit may be no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. We pray we'll listen to your implanted word, but not listen only and forget. But as we are confronted by the mirror of your word, we'll listen, receive your conviction, remember, retain what we have heard, and act in obedience, the obedience of faith. And so we pray to that end, please bless this scripture for your glory and for the sanctification of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.